One from Randy Savage.
Listen. Oh, yeah, come on, let's go on in. Monday night in Memphis, Tennessee. Tag team tournament for the Southern Belts. We need another couple belts to put around this box. Dutch Mantel and Tommy Gilbert. Dutch Mantel, you made a mistake by making Randy Macho Man Savage mad, and me mad too. I'm the person that believes that it's better to be rich and dead than poor and alive, and you steal a robe.
Dutch Mantel! When you're in Memphis, Tennessee on Monday night, you're in Macho Man Country, do you understand? Macho Man Country! And you did something that's really, really stupid, man. You're proving you ain't got no brains at all. No. You stole my robe! Now listen, man. You've been big time, man, when you did that. And you pranced around. And you really enjoyed it. What you did is you sealed your own fate, yeah. The nail's in the coffin. Dutch Mantel, I've faced tougher guys than you, man, all my career. I'm the past, I'm the present, and I'm the future. And I'm in Macho Man Country, and so are you. So are you. So are you. Dutch Mantel, Southern Tag Team Title Tournament, yeah. I don't care about that, no. I'm gonna chop your head off. I'm gonna kill you, man. Monday night in Memphis, Tennessee. Nobody makes a fool of the Macho Man. Not in Macho Man Country. Not in Macho Man Country. You're going to die, man.
We
yeah.
Fight best
You're gonna
when
die.
Opponents are the deadliest.
You're going to die. Man, tell man, you ain't nothing compared to the Macho Man.
I'm not going to sing any song right now.
Take it away.
I'm just going to assume that you went right from Obsession straight into the Tool Time theme.
I could definitely put that together, yeah.
Just that.
It's going to be our opening today.
You could do, I think it's...
Official announcement. This is becoming a home improvement podcast where we run down the episodes one after another.
You could have... I'll also accept if you don't do that. I think it's like season 7 or 8 where they announce they're going to have a competition on Tool Time to let
How many seasons did that show last?
8 or 9.
Okay, so that was the end. That sounded pretty late for season 8.
Right.
Come on. It's a lot of Tool Time.
They have a contest where the fans can write words to the Tool Time song.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Was there hijinks?
Yeah, there's like a rap group.
Uh-huh.
And,
in Michigan? Come on.
Well, first of all, it's a lot of white people first.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim and Al are like, this is a great time. This is a really good time.
Is there ever a person of color on Home Improvement?
Yeah, Dave Chappelle.
Good for him. It's a good payday.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's
some of that Tim Allen money.
He got that spinoff.
What now? Tell me more.
He and a white guy were on the show as like these two people. And then they were like, well, it's because they got their own show on ABC now.
Okay.
But, I don't know. It didn't make a whole lot of sense.
A lot of good stuff coming up because, you know, big news of the week. Home Improvement is on Hulu. So I'm digging into it. Starting to watch it. I'm gonna get all of you and Davey R. Scheister's Home Improvement references.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna be right in the conversation now. Can't wait to get to the point where Dave Chappelle starts showing up.
Yep.
A lot of jewels for me to experience.
Oh, so good. Ooh, you get Dan Aykroyd as the priest.
Oh, and that spun off into Soul Man?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Bing up a list of all the shows that spun off Home Improvement. It sounds like they were quite the little sitcom factory.
Right. And then, well, don't forget, that was ABC and Disney's cash cow for the longest time.
Oh, there's big money in the Tim 90s. Allen game, I'm sure.
Ooh, they were killing.
Man's a legend.
Crushing it. And then don't forget the guys at KC, whatever, Construction.
Uh-huh.
Rock.
Uh-huh.
Daryl and Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys look great.
As always, you know you're watching a good Home Improvement episode whenever those guys show up.
Yeah.
Some sort of new thing they figured out on the job.
Yeah.
I think our tools play music now. We're cooking food with our tools.
Was the one guy also on Grace Under Fire?
I would imagine there's a lot of crossover between the two audiences of Grace Under Fire and A Home Improvement, so probably it'd be smart to tap into that, get some cast members
that
on
both
sides.
That was a good show, too.
I don't know that I've ever seen any Grace Under Fire.
I used to watch a lot of that. I think she had a young daughter on the show. I assume she's got
to
be naked.
Starting
on the
to come together now. I'm starting to understand why you were watching all that Grace Under Fire.
Yeah. I always thought that her like neighbor best friend was kind of hot.
Okay. This is
like a weird
more
mom
things
way.
I have to bing. This is going to make a whole list.
But that's not what we're here to talk about today.
It's
wrestling time.
We'll just have to cut all that out then.
It's baby oil and blow.
Senseless.
Oh, no. It's still
talking so long about.
People need to hear about
90s
that.
Sitcoms.
We just got a lot to do because we're talking 80s wrestling here on Baby Oil and Blow with your hosts, me, Matt.
You. What's your name?
Matt,
okay.
And you, sir.
I'm a guy.
You could just be Nate Adams today, I guess.
Okay. Ahoy, hoy, everybody. I'm here on this mournful Monday. We've lost another 1980s pro wrestler. A lot of them dying recently. It's a whole new rash of wrestler deaths. I thought we were kind of over that thing where a new wrestler died every goddamn week. Turns out, no.
His heart had to be the size of like an elephant's.
I mean, quite frankly.
From all that cocaine.
All
he
the
did.
Stories about Jim the Anvil Neidhart and how just beat red he was his entire career as a young man. I'm kind of shocked that he made it this long.
Yeah.
It's a good run for the Anvil.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we didn't watch Raw tonight to see if they led with the in memoriam.
They better have. I'll tell you what, Bret Hart's going to give them an earful, I'm sure, if they don't pay their proper respects. That's a man with a lot of opinions.
Oh, yeah, his daughter's on that show, Natty. Natalia. Mm-hmm.
It's a rough night for her. First off, you know, she has to sit through a 3-hour Raw like the rest of us.
Yeah.
And top it all, if your dad dies, I don't know which is worse.
That's a really good point, Nate. So I will ask you for your predictions on SummerSlam, since it's this week.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard any chatter about that.
This is the big go-home show.
I don't think there's much buzz behind the SummerSlam, then.
Oh,
you know,
okay. Listen
I'm on
to
all
this
the
card.
News feeds.
Listen to this card.
I'm not hearing anybody talking about it.
Let's see if you still feel that way. Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the WWE Universal Championship?
No, that was probably last year that happened, I imagine. Mm-hmm. Or you're reading an old card right now is what's happening.
Nope. I wish I was.
Oh, God.
Who do you think wins this one?
How many rematches is this now? Is this six into their series?
I don't know.
If Roman's due.
Roman's due?
Roman's due.
You don't think Lesnar's walking into UFC with that strap?
Hell no.
Okay. Alexa Bliss versus Ronda Rousey for the Raw Women's Championship.
Gotta anoint Ronda.
Yeah, hell yeah. Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental Championship.
Dolph Ziggler's getting a title match in 2018?
He is the Intercontinental Champion.
Jesus. It's back to the Intercontinental title meaning nothing.
Yep.
My prediction, doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
Strowman versus Kevin Owens. If Strowman loses the match in any fashion, then Owens wins the Money in the Bank contract.
Oh, I gotta say, can't think of any reason to do that match unless you're gonna somehow get that Money in the Bank contract switched off of him then, so.
And then Roman Reigns beats Lesnar and Kevin Owens cashes in?
Hopefully. Yeah, I'm saying some sort of Kevin Owens shenanigans is gonna take down the big man.
Okay. Match I'm most excited for because they've done a good job building the guy back up for once. AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship.
Oh, that's very exciting. I gotta say, AJ's been a champ for a long time. It might be time to switch it up and do something new.
Let's say
Joe gets it.
I think so. Carmella versus Becky versus Charlotte in a triple threat for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
I thought there'd be nothing I could care less about than Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler, but you just named it.
Okay.
Flip a coin. Who cares?
Yeah, a three-sided coin. You heard it. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy for the U.S. Championship.
Oh, I can't imagine putting Jeff Hardy over Nak at this point.
Yeah, they just put the strap
weird
on.
Old career.
He just beat Hardy for the strap.
He's got to go down. It's got to be that way.
One of the matches I'm most excited for, Daniel Bryan versus The Miz.
Ooh, solid match. Is this their first match?
Yep.
After talking shit for all this time?
Mm-hmm. Years and years.
No way you just blow it off with one then. The Miz has got to win some way.
I like it. This is probably your pick to click right here. Cedric Alexander versus Drew Gulak for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. And bonus points if you can tell me which one of them is the champion currently.
Cedric Alexander, I'm going to guess, is the champion.
Okay.
And this doesn't make the show. This is on the pre-show.
I want to say it is on the show.
No, there's no way it's going to be on the show.
Finn Balor
versus... Even if they're saying it is at this point, it gets bumped.
Finn Balor versus Constable Baron Corbin.
Constable Baron Corbin?
Yeah.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Okay, good
Finn
call.
Finn Balor.
Bludgeon Brothers versus The New Day for the SmackDown Tag Titles.
SmackDown Tag Titles. Wow. That's got to be another thing that doesn't actually get on the card. Well, I guess they usually get The New Day on there somewhere.
True.
Bludgeon Brothers.
Rusev and Lana versus...
How are you going to give the titles to The New Day again? They've had it for like the last 10 years. Rusev Break those guys up.
Rusev and Lana versus Andre Almas and Zelina Vega.
Ooh, there's a match I'd like to see. Finally, something interested. I might YouTube that one. Yeah. I guess you got to give it to Almas.
Yep.
And little Zelina Vega.
They're the hot new team.
She's a hot little number, I'll tell you that much.
She is nice.
I have to keep her in my pocket. Carry her around.
A very, very nice looking.
Just a tiny little spitfire.
Baby. Baby.
Is that it? Is that the whole card?
It sounded
like 15 matches or so. Is this going to be a 7-hour event? Is SummerSlam like 7 hours long, like WrestleMania now?
I do believe they do it.
How on earth?
At like 6 o'clock as opposed to 7 o'clock central.
To sit through all of this programming that they make these days. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's a real fuck you to the audience.
Yeah. You know how you kind of like wrestling? Here's way too much of it.
Yeah.
You know how in sitcoms from the 50s, you'd catch a little boy smoking, you'd make him smoke a whole pack till he gets sick?
That's what they're doing.
That's what we're going to do with
Oh, you like wrestling, do you, Johnny?
Pro wrestling.
You like wrestling, do you, little Johnny, huh?
I wish my daddy'd had the parenting skills to do this for me, I tell you what. Start puffing, boy. For God's sakes, Bobby, what nationality are you?
American.
Then why are you holding your cigarette like some kind of European Nazi in the movie?
Why does it matter?
Now, that's not the right sort of attitude for you to have.
You and I got taught a lesson for being wrestling fans this week. And our punishment was we were made to watch another hour and a half of NWA's World Championship Wrestling.
That's right. The rundown this week. Brought to us
by Binford Tools.
Binford Tools isn't a real thing, Matt. We can't get any money from them. We'll say the Bristol Renaissance Fair.
Ooh,
where we got drunk and ate meats yesterday.
Yeah.
It was a good time. Nice day.
It was a great day.
Big grounds. They got a lot of stuff packed into that thing. I gotta say, not as much ridiculous cleavage at that thing as I was led to believe.
Yeah.
This is all people ever talk about.
There was some good titties there.
Yeah, there was some good titties, but like, the way people make it sound is like everywhere you look, there's titties, and it's all about taking your titties out of that thing.
I feel like I
could have used more titties, but still a good time at the Renaissance Fair. I ate a big turkey leg.
It was steampunk week.
Oh, that's
and
true.
And I feel that might have killed some of it.
Oh my gosh, it's pissed on our Renaissance Fair parade with that stupid steampunk shit.
Now
that I've been to a Renaissance Fair, I got some opinions on them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just call myself a purist. I'm a fundamentalist when it comes to this Renaissance Fair. Get your steampunk shit out of my Renaissance Fair, man.
And since I am also a purist, I have vowed that next year when we go, I'm going no shirt, Scott Steiner with the chainmail.
Did you order that chainmail headdress yet?
Yeah,
you got that coming in the mail?
It's already in the mail.
Huh?
Huh?
You fat!
Okay, well, that's going to be fun for next year. Something to look forward to. The rundown, WCW... the 26th, 1988. That's the episode we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. March 26th. First match. Sheepherders are in there versus Ryan Wagner and Tony Bowman.
Who cares?
Sheepherders. They win with a double knee drop. Johnny Ace still looking cool.
Way cool.
Al Perez versus Alan Martin. Perez wins with a spinning toe hold.
The Latin heartthrob.
He's a very attractive man.
He's a handsy boy.
I was watching this morning. And the lady that lives here comes into the room when it's going on, and she's like, who's that guy? Yeah. Is he a wrestler?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, he's a heartthrob. Look how good he looks. I could tell she was getting all boned up about it.
He had to wipe up the floor after
she left. Shirtless with that nice gold chain. That's definitely her look. Swarthy beard. She was putting out some vibes. I could tell.
You could smell it in the air.
Fantastics versus Steve Atkinson and Gene Ligon is our next match. Rogers, he gets the pin after the rocket launcher. It's a shot fired at the Midnight Express there.
Wow.
Stealing their finisher once again. Double A and Tully, the Four Horsemen. We get a little clip of them fighting Luger and Windham. It's just the end of the match, joined in progress. But basically, Magnum comes out there with a baseball bat to stop some JJ interference. Hijinks ensues, and then Windham ends up getting DQ'd there.
Yep.
That sets up a little angle later on where the bat and Magnum comes into play again.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Dusty's out. It's crazy.
We'll get to that.
We'll talk about it more. Next match, Varsity Club versus the Italian Stallion and Tommy Angel. Rotunda wins it with a pretty sick-looking double underhook suplex.
Yup.
Good job, Rotunda. Ron Simmons, the big man in there versus David Diamond. Simmons wins with that shoulder block off the second rope, that big old football tackle.
But they started the match with Dap.
Okay. With who?
Dap.
What's Dap?
You know, like, all right, brother, yeah.
Oh, okay.
A handshake.
Not hip enough to know what they're calling handshakes these days. Sting's in there with everybody's favorite substitute teacher, Max MacGyver. It's a typical Sting match. He wins with the...
I thought it was Matt Stryker.
Splash and the scorpion, but... He doesn't go right into it this time. Instead, he does a bunch of crisscrosses to blow MacGyver up really well, which is pretty funny. The guy ends up doing a lot of running. He's not in very good shape.
No.
Midnight Express in there versus Big Bear Collie and Kendall Windham. Eaton wins with the real rocket launcher.
The real rocket launcher.
Big Green Machine.
Match of the night.
Versus El Negro. Green wins after a bunch of fat guy elbow drops, just like a bunch in a row. He keeps dropping elbows.
It was the weirdest thing
El
ever.
Negro's done for. Our main event of the evening.
We're not done?
Shane Douglas and gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, weirdly teaming up for some reason, versus Mike Jackson and Art Pritz. Garvin ends it with a brainbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Strange makeshift tag team. Match to close out the show with.
A real sloppy brainbuster.
But it was a welcome close, because I gotta say, you predicted it. Another shitty episode. This is a real bad episode of WCW this week. I didn't like watching it.
No.
Let's get into the five count.
Okay.
And go through our points. It's going to be a lot of bitching. I can tell already.
Last week, we praised the product up north for their slick.
We did indeed.
Slick program.
That World Wrestling Federation knows how to promote an upcoming event.
It was WrestleMania all the way.
Everything in Atlantic City
served a purpose.
Entertaining show.
Even their garbage matches served a point to get like the undercard over. Like, it just made great sense.
Everything's coming together.
Enter NWA's WCW.
That's right.
Can't even say the letters. That's how bad it was. As soon as they kick off the show, they give you a bunch of clips of Nikita Koloff doing the sickle.
That's right. One after another.
And then they never show him on the show again.
Yeah.
Is he coming back?
To
at one of these
promote
shows?
His big match that he's got coming
at
up that we've been hearing.
Clash of the Champions of the Crockett Cup Memorial All-Star Weekends.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have any matches announced for anything as far as I know. And he wasn't on this show. And seemingly he's not factored into any of the plans going forward. So yes, this was a very weird way to open the show.
So not only is this the go-home show to Clash of the Champions, it airs the day before Clash of the Champions,
which they
right?
did a good job of putting up the graphic on over
every
and over
time,
again. It was
sure.
Clash of the Champions tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Little visual reminder.
So how do we start the show after the Nikita package?
How is it? How are
you
they doing,
talk
Matt?
About the Crockett Cup.
Oh, because
several times in a row.
A big thing Nikita's involved in?
Until Tony Schiavone says, blah, 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 Crockett Cup, Clash of the Champions.
It's two different things. Two different events.
I don't know why he said that.
I think they were trying to get to the point where they're going to like name the Crockett Cup brackets or something tomorrow at the Clash of the Champions.
It didn't sound like
they were trying to build that in as some sort of like, you know, little exciting Easter egg you're going to get if you tune into Clash of the Champions. You're going to get to hear more about the Crockett Cup because we haven't been hearing enough about the fucking Crockett Cup for the last month and a half.
They kept talking about the entire show. They don't give a fuck about Clash of the Champions.
Did they name a specific match that's happening at the Clash of the Champions once this whole fucking show?
Yeah.
I think Flair talked about he's going to fight Sting in his promo.
I want to say the only thing they mention is the Sting and Flair. They actually like have promos where they acknowledge that program.
Mm-hmm.
And then Twin Towers versus...
Well, Flair acknowledged it. Sting was just like, I don't want to do a promo this week and quit his promo.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. There's four...
pretty solid.
Four...
He should clue Luger in and let him know that that's an option.
If we say we don't want to do these, we don't got to do these.
Just don't do your promo. Just walk out.
There's four altogether that they mentioned. So it was Flair, Sting, Twin Towers versus... Tully and Arn.
That's happening at I didn't even know that was a Clash match.
I think.
Okay, it makes sense that it would be. Hopefully it is.
I want to say that...
That is a feud they've been building well over the course of the weeks.
Might be five matches, because I think they acknowledge Dusty and LOD versus Powers of Pain.
Is that happening at the Clash? They've been talking about that, I feel like, for like 6 months.
I think so.
I just assumed that it already happened.
And then what were the other ones they mentioned? Fantastics and Midnight Express.
Fantastics and Midnights.
They actually continue building
that. It's only been like 2 weeks
view.
That the Fantastics have been around. But
at least
still,
it's a real
it's
story.
Set up well. Yeah, they got a storyline going into
that.
Then,
fuck, what was the other? Oh, they announced that there's no storyline behind it. They just announced that Jimmy Garvin will be wrestling Kevin Sullivan in
Lucky
the
Us.
Prince of Darkness Deathmatch.
Oh, because Kevin Sullivan jock coach gimmick works so well for some sort of weird Undertaker type gimmick match.
Right, yeah.
That guy's a moron.
Well, don't forget about that time they were in Singapore together.
That's right.
On Boogie Street.
He did randomly mention Jimmy Garvin in a promo that seemed confusing to me why he would suddenly start talking about him a couple weeks ago. Turns out it's leading to a match. Who knew? Maybe they should have let me know that.
So on top of like all the confusion,
the show's begging for one of those like event center rundown things that the WWF does.
Right.
Oh God, begging for it.
Like instead of just rolling your eyes, like that would be really informative and helpful.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah. We're going home to the Clash of the Champions and I needed you to run down the matches. I couldn't have named any of them other than Sting versus Flair.
They're talking about their big, I was amazed that I could pull all those.
Yeah,
they
did really well.
I guess it just subliminally sunk in, like Obey.
Mm-hmm.
They talked the whole show like building up to the Crockett Cup. And I think they mentioned like Clash of the Champions maybe a third of the time.
Yeah, like you could tell the TBS wants to promote it because every time they go to commercial, you get those graphics about it. But yeah, the announcers themselves
could give
a fucking zero care
fucks,
less.
Yeah.
It's all about the... The Crockett Cup. I don't know why they think this big tag team tournament's...
And another thing I noticed to make...
Really hitching their wagon
to
that star. Nobody cares about the fucking Crockett Cup.
All of this worse, dude. The Crockett Cup, it's like 2 nights long.
Mm-hmm.
One night's in Greenboro, the other night's in Greenville.
Ooh, that's confusing.
It's awful, man.
I tell you, one of my points right here, one of my 5 points, was just their way of promoting this Crockett Cup and how much I hated it.
Yeah.
Because it was... bringing out a bunch of boring old white guys from all across the NWA.
Oh, Jesus.
To come out and talk in monotone voices about how the Crockett Cup's coming up. Oh, jeez. What an entertaining show. Nothing that a bunch of little kids like more on their wrestling show than old
men
in
racist
suits.
Racist white men.
Being interviewed by other white guys in suits, talking in just real serious monotone voices about shit. Get fucking... Flair, Arn Anderson, your wrestlers, your exciting, colorful people out here screaming about the Crockett Cup or whatever if you're going to promote it. Have them say the date over and over again and what they're going to do to their opponent. Nobody cares about the NWA Board of Directors. Nobody outside of fucking Texas cares about Paul Bosch dragging him out of fucking mothballs and having him come out here.
That was a sweet outfit he was wearing.
He did look really good. He was out there. Some other little short bearded man, I don't even know who he was out there.
Yeah.
They had like... five or six just random guys from territory
Rob
wrestling.
Rob Garner.
Coming
that
out
was
here.
His name.
This is how they're trying to promote all this stuff. It sucks. It's ineffective. It's like if WWF just gave us an episode of TV that was like 80% about Jack Tunney. It wouldn't have happened. Yeah. If Jack Tunney comes out, it's once every 3 months, and it's for fucking 2 seconds.
And it's important as fuck.
Yeah, exactly. So get all these old white guys off my fucking TV.
Whenever that happened, I was like, oh shit, that's Jack Tunney. Even when like they moved to like Gorilla Monsoon being the president or whatever, he was actually a wrestler and like was an on-air personality, and he still didn't even come out all the fucking time.
Yeah, when he did come out, you'd get the sense that there had been a TV camera pointed at him before. He didn't just look like some fucking local used car dealer trying to film a commercial for his car lot.
God, all they're doing is thinking about how happy they are that the internet isn't around so people don't know about all the
boring
sexual abuse and weird things they have going on in their secret lives.
All these wrestling promoters. I guess there probably wasn't too many women around for them to sexually harass.
Oh, I'm just talking about...
I guarantee you, whoever was around was getting harassed.
I'm just talking about whatever businesses they owned, you know. There's probably a lot going on there.
Side hustles?
I'm sure there was a lot of young family members that they inappropriately did things with, you know.
Look in their dead, cold eyes. You could, it just makes perfect sense to me.
It's the South. I don't want to talk about the match, but I do want to mention real quick in that Sheep Herders match.
Yeah.
When they're talking about the prestigious Crockett Cup.
That's right.
JR's running down the teams, and he's like, you know, you got all these teams that are coming together, and they're new teams.
Greatest tag teams in the world are going to be in this Crockett Cup.
Well, he's like, these teams, you know, might not have as good of a chance because it's just two singles wrestlers getting together.
That's true. That's true. Experience but then and you teamwork got, is important.
You know, experienced teams that really hold, you know, could really do something. He's like, but then we have a lot of newer tag teams. And don't sleep on these guys. And he goes to name them off. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I forget what teams he says. He's like, there's this team, there's that team. And then he closes with, and then there's the Jive Tones. And any one of these teams could really be the black horse in this competition. Could really be the dark horse in this competition.
slip of the tongue there. I didn't catch that. That's kind of funny. Yeah. Poor JR. Yeah. I did kind of want to talk about this Sheep Herders match a little bit, but in conjunction with a couple of the other matches, because number one here, what I got is my first count and my five count, is that all these matches were so boring. They weren't even wrestling matches.
No.
The Sheep Herders match, it was just clubbing.
Yeah.
Forearm, whip to the ropes, clothesline, forearm. The other team gets no offense, and the match just keeps going. I hate how they do this when they have these squash matches go. For more than 30 seconds, if the other team is going to get legitimately zero offense, you take that approach, you add it to the Sheep Herders, just completely generic clubber and offense, makes for a boring goddamn match. Second match that bored the shit out of me, Al Perez's match. New guy trying to get him over as a hot young stud. Yeah. He comes out here, he wrestles with no personality whatsoever. Just blank-faced, going through the motions, move to move. The announcers have told me nothing about who he is, what he wants, what he's here for. Literally, all they say to put him over is that he's competent at professional wrestling.
Correct.
Wrestling a very competent match. All the moves he's doing look good and make sense as wrestling moves.
And they do. I mean,
who could care?
He's athletic. He's got some talent, you can tell. But like you said, there's just no reason to
Third match that bored the living shit out of me. Ron Simmons wrestling that jobber. He laid on top of him in holds for the entire match.
Yeah.
If you're going to work a match with holds rather than the Bushwhackers clubbering, you got to work the hold. The other guy's got to be trying to get out of it. You've got to be trying to wrench it in more. Every once in a while, you got to transition to a different hold. It's literally just two guys, one laying on top of each other, motionless for this entire match. They were just laying there, doing nothing. That was the entire fucking match.
I specifically wrote down, fucking rest holds. Crowd is dead.
I was so bored watching this whole goddamn episode. If it wasn't an old white guy who couldn't cut a promo getting interviewed by fucking David Crockett, it was a boring ass match where I was getting the same shit over and over and over again with no back and forth, no intrigue,
extremely
no personality.
Boring.
Oh, what a bad episode of wrestling.
You going to talk about the most head scratching of them all, or are you talking about it later?
Those two masked men. Oh, yeah, that's one of my points later.
Okay, we'll get to that.
I didn't have that in my boring. It was far too weird to get boring.
Okay.
Another point of mine, my second point, also happened in that sheep herders match. And that's when the cameraman caught wind of the blonde with the big hair and the tiny tank top, taking her jacket off, and got that nice cutaway from the match, just her arching her back and taking her jacket off.
Oh, I missed that.
Like, ooh, cameraman, good call.
Was it the with the big haired blonde?
Yeah, they showed her again later in the red tank top.
I noticed her later in the sheep herders.
And then they showed her randomly again the sting later on.
Son of a
cameraman
bitch.
Got attached to that one.
I'm firing up the network on my phone when we go to break.
Girl's taking her jacket off. Get a camera on it.
Get the camera.
So that was my highlight of the show right there. Girl with the most ridiculously huge 80s hair I've ever seen taking off her jacket. Nice little tank top. It's rare you get a real smoke show out there in the Southern wrestling audience.
Well, you bring me to a very interesting point, Nate.
Okay.
And that's all the hose beasts that weren't that smoking blonde with the red tank top. As clearly made evident in the Fantastics versus Steve Atkinson and Jim Leegan match.
They were going wild for the Fantastics.
All right. A lot of good in this match.
Oh, yeah,
mostly
sure.
Mostly just because Fantastics...
Fantastic.
They're entertaining.
High energy.
Yeah.
They get the crowd engaged. It was definitely a high point of this episode.
You should have had this match 2-3 weeks ago. Introduce us to the Fantastics.
Yeah, there you go.
Here you go.
Instead
of... Put this match on.
Having them directly feuding with the Midnight Express before you even tell us who they are.
Yeah. Put them on TV this way. Like... I like that, wasn't it? That was very entertaining. This is a really good time.
Now they run afoul of the Midnight Express. After I've grown attached to them a little bit, I've learned who they are, I know what their moves are, etc., etc., etc.
They come out to the ring. They don't just like do the high five bit. They go out of their way to kiss and hug every woman in the front and some in the back. They're reaching out there. It was funny. It was disturbing. It was cringeworthy. It was a lot of things, depending on what woman they were.
One in specific that stood out to me. I made her one of my talking points. I had to bring her out. And that was the girl with the boy haircut. I think was wearing like a football jersey, maybe or something.
Yeah.
So anyways, she kisses Tommy Rogers. Tommy Rogers is making his go around.
I didn't notice that.
She full on just goes in, plants one on him, and then like... He's like, oh, yeah, all right, honey, sure, sure. He, like, moves on to the next one and moves on to the next one. But then, like, the entire rest of the time when he's going down the line, she's just still, like, in the focus of the camera, and she's just leering at him as he talks, like, just, like, this dead look in her eyes, this scary, just creepy, awkward leer. And you can tell she just hasn't had a normal social interaction with anyone ever in her life. This is just, like... weird, creepy wrestling fan outcast, the girl version, and I was loving her. She was another one of my highlights of the night. I just wanted to shout out to her.
I caught a lot of her.
Just
I did not
staring,
see her kiss him.
Staring dead-eyed at him.
I gotta go back and watch that now, too.
Talking all those. This is like literally like she was like just fantasizing about killing all these other beastly women in the front row.
She
expected to have all the time with Tommy Rogers.
Well, there was the 400-pounder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there was a big old woman.
That one was fun.
Front row this
especially
this week.
Later in the match when, what's it, Bobby what?
Bobby Fulton.
Fulton?
Yeah.
Jumps down off the apron and has a seat on her lap at some point.
Cheering on his partner from the lap of a woman in the audience.
No, not a woman. A house of a woman. Gilbert Grape's mom.
She was a real refrigerator of a lady, that's for damn sure.
And
That's probably not something that you see people do these days. It gets you in some trouble.
He like put full weight on her leg. Because why?
For sure.
Because she could support it. As far as them high-fiving and hugging the ladies, my favorite was at the very end of the line when they got to the really fine dressed in white young brunette.
Okay.
It was like...
What's her number?
I don't know, but she was like anywhere from like 12 to 18, you couldn't really tell because of how done up she was. And it's just one
got
of those
hit with that makeup gun from The Simpsons.
Awesome Southern things where it's like, what kind of world is this where she's some kind of southern
weird damn world
belle and somebody in her weird
family. Let's go to the wrestling
like,
show.
You're going to the wrestling show today, little lady. Yeah,
strange crowd. It was, you got a nice shot of everybody, too, and the Fantastics cut their promo afterwards because they let all the crowd go up to the ring and pound on the ring while they were cutting a promo, which is a fun little mix.
Yeah.
And also it got like it got everybody right up into the camera, so you could just like pause it and just like dissect everybody's face, just like make up stories for all of them. Like, it was weird. They had all like all the women on one side and then all the black dudes on the other side.
Yeah, that was
I was wondering if they like did that on purpose. A little bit of...
Judging by where we were, yes.
Separate but equal on the wrestling show. Yeah. Everybody liked the Fantastics, though. We were all in agreement about that.
While on the subject of people in the crowd, there was also next to a young number 13 girl that kissed What's-His-Nuts. Right next to her was another little boy, I think.
Okay, yeah. There was one little boy on the line that was like all screaming women.
And at the end of
randomly some little chubby boy.
By the end of the show, he and his sister in the 13 jersey are holding headshots of that porn star that Flair brings out.
Oh, the penthouse pet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you notice that one?
I didn't quite pick up. Did they ever say why she was out? It was just like
she's going to be one of the judges.
Flair brought out a penthouse pet for some reason.
She's going to be one of the three judges.
I did not catch that. The whole time I was like waiting to hear like, why is it? Are you guys just like promoting penthouse? Is that all that's going on here?
No, they found out that WWF was going to have celebrities.
Okay,
at
so,
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So
we gotta get celebrities too. What's that magazine where they show full lip?
Yeah.
Get one of those chicks.
Yeah.
I am Larry Flint. I hereby announce my candidacy for the presidency of these United States of America. One of your colleagues said on the floor that no decent member of Congress would accept Hustler. That's exactly why I sent it to you in the first place. You're all a bunch of low-life, indecent, puke-infested maggots that should be hounded from office for being political, inept quacks, spelled Q-U-A-C-K-S. Fuck you, motherfuckers.
Perfect for your family entertainment.
And then Sting, the good guy, his judge is going to be some football wash-up.
Oh, is that the wide receiver guy that they showed in the audience?
Nope. That was unrelated.
Just a random...
That was unrelated.
Random football player that showed up to wrestle, and so they put the camera on him?
Yeah, that was Dolphins wide receiver... what was his name? I don't know, but he looked dope as hell.
Yeah, he did.
Sunglasses.
Yeah, he's pretty... Had some personality to him. He was playing to the camera. He had like a sucker in his mouth or something.
Mark Clayton. That's
he seemed like he seemed like a real personality. I don't know why he never got in the wrestling game if he was such a big fan.
He was a good dude. I liked him. I also, because of that Fantastics match, got to have a nice conversation with the little lady.
Mm-hmm.
She sat on the couch next to me, subject to this.
We were subjecting a lot of women to 1980s pro wrestling today. Shame on us.
And she turned to me and said, why were there so many women at this thing?
Used to be how it was.
Explain to her, well, you see.
They go there to fuck
the wrestlers.
Wrestlers
used to fuck them. And sometimes they'd have to fuck the old ones and the fat ones.
Oh, you gotta service
the
rats.
Keep them all happy.
Gotta service the rats.
I was like, because you see.
I feel like John Cena's the only modern wrestler that still understands this.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of stories about him just plowing big women.
Maybe
good
that's
on
just
him.
What he's into.
Good on him.
Yeah, but she weirdly understood.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, that makes perfect sense.
Definitely. Why doesn't it still happen? You've lost your way, wrestling promoters.
That's true. I think my next.
I got a number five.
I've said all my stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like said all my stuff essentially.
You want
me to go into it?
It's the big angle.
No, my number five is just. The match with the two masked jobbers wrestling each other as
that.
A match.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that? You got two big fat guys in masks. It's not like one of them's jobbing to this star and one of them's jobbing the other one. It's a two jobber match. And then the green guy was the big green monster or whatever
big green
the fuck
machine.
He is. They're trying to sell me on the idea like he's some sort of up-and-comer
right?
that they're going to start promoting. This guy's a fat tub of shit. He's literally just wearing solid green pajamas and a solid green mask, head-to-toe green. That's his entire fucking gimmick. He wears green. He's just a big fat guy. And they're like, They're talking about him like, oh, we got big plans for him.
You know.
What the hell was this?
You know you're a fat tub of shit when you're fully covered.
Oh, yeah,
head to toe.
Still just looked like garbage.
And you're wearing a mask, but it's still plain as day how gassed you are.
Jeez.
Every time you go to do a move.
This guy, never heard of him. I don't know if he's going to be back or how long this experiment's going to last.
I'm going to tell you what, I binged it.
Who was behind this? Whose idea was putting this guy on the TV and trying to sell him like he's going to be one of your premier fucking wrestlers going forward?
I binged it.
It was ridiculous.
Not a thing, pal.
Okay.
Couldn't find anything.
Nothing else. It's just some.
Did you do that? That was my theory.
That is, I just entered some sort of Twilight Zone fucking time warp, and there was going to be no explanation as to why this match was happening on my fucking TV.
Oh, I've hit that point in the WCW episode where I get a delirious fever dream.
I thought that I'd fallen asleep again this week, but no, turns out what I was watching was real. So that goes through all of my five, but you're right. I was negligent. We should cover the big angle because it was 90% of the show.
But my question to you, did you do the same thing I did at the start of the Big Green Machine El Negro match?
I just paused it and I got up and I walked a couple laps around my living room just looking at the ground and shaking
just
my head.
Just hands on your hips. Yeah. Just like.
So if that's what you did, then yes, because that's what I did.
At the start of that match, I was like, well, this is clearly a setup for some kind of run-in or some bigger angle. And then it wasn't.
There was no explanation for why the match happened.
Did we get, like, punked or something?
We might have. Like you said, fever dream. We drank a lot of just really gross Bacardi mixers at this Renaissance Fair yesterday.
Oh, you're
just
not
too
kidding.
Many of them. It was just kind of as a half a joke, but just as a real drunk, it turned out. The Bacardi Mai Tais, the Bacardi Hurricane, the Bacardi Rum Punch. And I gotta tell you, I felt like fucking garbage waking up with a Bacardi mixer hangover this morning and just trying to watch this wrestling show and then getting this match, these two fucking no-name Big Green Machine. Give me a fucking break. I literally thought I was just like, I don't know. Like I had licked a toad or something, and that Bacardi was coming back on me, and just too much artificial shit in those mixers had just zapped my brain, and I was losing it.
I had a inmate.
Uh-huh. At the jail?
Yeah. At one point, turns to me and says, hey, you really smell like booze. To which I was like, ah, no, that's mouthwash.
Yeah,
I
couldn't.
Keep walking.
Couldn't possibly be true, inmate.
Keep walking,
what
pal.
What are you thinking about?
Get out of here.
No, I didn't smuggle any Bacardi into this jail. Drinking on my shift.
One of those drinks was tolerable. Was it the Mai Tai?
That was the one that tasted like Capri Sun, so I don't know.
Yeah. Which was the one we had
Hurricane tasted like a blue snow cone?
That one wasn't. No,
bad.
That one
was,
had that
they
real.
Were all pretty good.
Bad Bacardi.
They were all pretty good.
Ugh.
Bristol Renaissance Fair, you gotta step up your alcohol game, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, just,
they should be boozing better, though.
Yeah, they're just giving me like a nice solid. If you're gonna have liquor, like, just give me some straight fucking liquors that I can mix with like some soda or something.
Yeah.
It doesn't all have to be fruity, fake bottled fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
We should have stuck to beer. I don't know. We're feeling a little bit crazy. It ruined my Monday. I put myself on my ass today.
I started with beer and then you guys kept getting those just beautiful drinks.
Yeah. They're very fun.
Beautiful colors.
Very fun to look at.
And I was like, wow. Oh, hell, I'll get in on this too.
Yeah, gotta drink some fucking electroshock colored blue booze just like they did back in the Renaissance times.
I had to take.
Keep that shit authentic.
I'm not even diabetic. I still had to take an insulin shot today.
Yeah, I probably should have done that.
All right, let's talk about the big angle, the big show here. So they have that stupid 10 seconds of a Horseman Twin Towers match.
Magnum has got a baseball bat. These days, he's walking around with it, and he's taking no guff off the Horseman.
He's walking around with the baseball bat because he's too embarrassed to walk with a cane on TV.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So he just uses the baseball bat as a cane, right?
He's in real bad shape.
So he gets mixed up with people, and he like fights over the bat with, I think, Dylan or somebody, and then like nearly falls over because he moved around too much.
There's just like a spot where Tully gets the bat from him, but like he just had to stand there with the bat like awkwardly, just like paws just waiting for Tully to come over and take it from him, and it just looked so bad. Like, yeah. Everything involving Magnum looked so bad.
It was really hard to watch.
And then we get in the studio back this week, the big segment. He's out again. He's
cutting John that promo.
And Tully. Tully ends up taking a pop at him, punches him in the face.
He's out there. He's out there.
The timing on that was bad. He couldn't even take a simple fucking shot to the face anymore. They need to get Magnum off the TV, man. He's too fucked up from this accident.
Pump the brakes here.
Pump
the brakes
here. He can't be doing this shit, man.
So he's out there. He's cutting his promo, and his promo's not even like he's still like he's like tripping over his words.
Not a classic Magnum promo.
You come in, I'll take matters with my own hands.
Sorry, guy.
I got a baseball bat.
I know you got ran over by a train or whatever, but you gotta get off the TV.
What was his accident?
I can't remember. I think like motorcycle accident or
he's like
speeding car.
I'm assuming
or
he was like wasted or doing something he shouldn't have been doing.
I gotta imagine so.
I just assume it's all his fault. So he rambles on for a minute. Mercifully, Tully Blanchard comes out to save us all. Oh,
God bless Tully Blanchard.
The other thing I noticed, the entire time, Magnum's got his right hand in his coat pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I don't know if it's because it's like he needed like a sling.
Yeah,
probably.
Could be.
But he didn't want to wear a sling.
Something going on with his mangled body that we're not supposed to understand.
It was really weird. So Tully comes out and gets in his face. He's like, you know, we had that I Quit match 3 years ago and people are still rubbing it in my face. Tully's showing great fire. It makes sense. It's like, oh, damn, this guy still hates this dude.
Mean
like,
little prick.
This is like real like story here as opposed to the rest of their fucking show. Like, this makes a lot of sense. And then Wyndham comes out, gets in the middle of them.
Yeah, he gets popped in the face by Tully.
Like,
then Magnum gets popped in the face by Tully.
Wyndham comes out and it's like, oh, this is really good. Like, he's doing, it's not just like I hate Tully. He's just doing like the, hold on, this guy's like not 100%.
Yeah, like this guy's a cripple,
right,
Tully.
Thing.
You need to lay off of him.
And Tully doesn't just hit him. He fucking hits him.
I mean, he popped him good.
Like, he socked fucking Wyndham in the mouth,
just
dude.
Did one of those just like instant, just like shot by a shotgun back bumps to sell it. Just bam, he's on the ground. It looked
awesome.
Great. And then by contrast,
and then,
then he punches Magnum.
Tully's like, oh, okay, this is the part where I have to punch you now, Magnum. Are we ready? Here we go. One, two,
shot.
Three.
Slow motion, like registers
JJ,
on his face a little bit.
J.J. Dillon.
And then J.J.
holds
like braces
his arms
him.
And drops him to the ground
just like
ever so
very
softly.
Very gingerly, kind of like forces him to take a bump by like slowly lowering him to the ground, but it like happens just in like sputtered steps.
And
like first he takes a knee, and then like then he rolls his hip over and lays on it. It's so slow.
Hold on,
so
JJ, bad. I gotta lay on my good hip.
It looked so fake. You can't be involving Magnum and angles at this point. You gotta get him off TV.
And Magnum's like on the ground, still with his hand in his pocket the entire time. He's out there.
With something in there.
But now, my favorite part happens. Dusty Rhodes comes
out. He's a house of fire.
Runs the fuck over Magnum TA.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't give a fuck about an accident.
That's really why his career
he's
ended.
He's just stepping on him.
Dusty stepped
like
on him.
Kicking him.
Big fat ass Texas.
I mean,
stepping
no
on
regard.
Your crippled spine.
No regard, man. So, he goes after Tully. He gets a hold of the baseball bat.
Now he starts wailing on everyone.
And I couldn't tell if it was a fake baseball bat or not. Or if this like redneck.
Yeah, he
was
really was
legitimately
swinging that thing
hitting
crazy.
People with a baseball bat.
I don't think
bat.
I've ever seen Dusty move so fast.
It was fucking amazing.
So
like,
not only does he hit all the other wrestlers out there, security starts coming by. All those old white guys in suits we were talking about earlier comes by. Dusty is flailing around. He ends up hitting everybody. The big part of the storyline, though, is Jim Crockett Jr., the big boss of the company, he takes a shot from Dusty on accident.
Yeah.
And now all the heels are trying to work it into their promos, talking about how Dusty hit the boss. He needs to be fired. He needs to be suspended. They're trying to get rid of Dusty.
Yeah. It was awesome. He also knocked Tully into Dave Crockett, which was great.
But I don't know. They showed it to us three times over the course of the episode.
Yeah, they WWE'd it.
Once it happened, all the rest of the wrestlers were talking only about that. It was just like all the focus. I really thought like it was a solid angle. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was a fun brawl, but I think they kind of oversold it. They just went too hard having to, like everybody talk about like what a big deal this was.
They never have had like an
angle that like everybody talks about.
Maybe just context of the time, like they had not really done much boss gets hit shit like that, but like one little light just like knocked down during a pull apart and they're acting like some sort of craziest thing that's ever happened on wrestling.
Yeah.
After just like years and years and years of fucking the McMahons falling off of roofs and shit, it just, it didn't register with me as being big of a deal as they kept trying to sell me it was. You got Kevin Sullivan talking about it when Kevin Sullivan wasn't involved at all. It's just like, come on, this is taking over the whole goddamn show
now. Well, I want to talk about that too. I did like that. It was.
See, I think I would have liked it more if the heels would have been like, I know I'm a heel, but like, Dusty went too far. But instead, they're like doing over the top heel shit about it.
Nah, like, this is. I dug this one here. This is the only time Kevin Sullivan's ever made sense. And he comes out and he's talking about what had just happened. And he's like, and you say I'm sick and you say I'm disturbed. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Dusty, this is who he really is. This is how he's always been. This is what we've all tried to warn you about.
He's a violent
man. Yeah.
He gets in bar fights.
Yeah, and then Gary Hart comes out and says the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, I thought it was kind of well done. Like I said, it was the only time I've ever seen Kevin Sullivan make any kind of sense.
Yeah, some more commentary from the lady of the house there in that Kevin Hart, or Gary Hart, Kevin Hart, that'd be cool, Gary Hart interview. Yeah. She was astonished by his fake teeth.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, look, why do they look so fake? There's the fakest teeth I've ever seen.
1988, honey.
Yeah, that's pretty good, because he's just got like his bottom teeth all just like crooked and like yellow and whatnot, just like normal weird 1980s old guy teeth. And his top fucking teeth just bright white, just like each tooth straight looks like it weighs like fucking 4 pounds.
At least.
Some goofy looking dentures you got in your mouth there, Gary.
Real quick, I want to talk about that Midnight's match.
Okay.
I just want to say they did a good job. The announcers didn't, but the Midnighters themselves, they had that big drag down, you know, brawl
last week with the Fantastics.
Right.
Went all around the studio. We're getting a lot of brawls in this studio this month.
And Cornette, since the announcers were doing fucking nothing with it, Cornette went out of his way to say that they had been fined for breaking all the furniture last week.
There you go.
And that they had to make a monetary deposit this week's show.
Yeah, got a fined maybe for dragging Teddy Long by 1 foot screaming across the entire studio, I'd imagine. That can't be something that they allow in their rules. That's not something you should be doing to the refs.
So it was great to see Cornette saying that they had to put down a money deposit.
Once again, they just let Cornette get on commentary and talk during the entire Midnight's match, and it's just always a highlight. Every goddamn week, getting to hear Corny talk for a few minutes.
One of the highlights was Bobby Eaton pulling his opponent out of the ring, walking him all the way over to where the announcers were. Looks like he's coming for that announcer's podium again, but he just
shoves
his opponent for a second out of the way so that he can carefully move the podium out of the way so he doesn't, you know, break it. He gives it like
line.
Careful. And then he brings his opponent back and makes Cornette hold the microphone to the dude's head as he hits it as hard as he can.
Love
so that you
chubby
can hear
prick.
It.
Love he, that chubby prick.
The best part is when he does it the second and final time as he's walking away. You hear like a really specific noise when he does it that time. But he's walking away and you hear Cornette yell, "Ow, Bobby, you hit my knuckle." I don't know. It's just
shoot knuckle injury. And we're going to, I guess, hear next week's episode. We'll have to look out to see if we hear if Rick Steiner gets fined for throwing that jobber into the camera. That was a pretty good shot today.
Oh, yeah.
Headshot on the lens of the camera. Fucking gave that jobber a noggin knocker. Rick Steiner.
Rick Steiner's really
my guy.
Loves hurting people.
Yes, he does. Pretty so that was it. That was the go-home show to the Clash of the Champions.
Who knew?
Didn't make me want to watch the Clash of the Champions at all, but, you know, we will 2 weeks from now. I got to say, it's probably going to be a hell of a lot better than one of these weekly shows, so, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Maybe it will be. I don't know. I'm thinking about joining Jim Neidhart.
Oh, that's inappropriate. Let's take a break and have you think about what you just did.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
I built this Tim Cam leaf blower jetpack so I could check out this huge Builder Square 2 grand opening.
talking over 4 million cubic feet of everything to decorate and fix up your home. Builder Square 2 is now open.
Nobody's hurt.
Hi, I'm Tim Allen, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about my new series coming this fall.
No running in
but
the house.
First, I've got to make some adjustments on that TV.
No, leave it alone.
Just take me a minute.
Don't touch the television.
Just about got it. There. Oh, no.
I'll call the repairman.
The premiere of Home Improvement, Tuesday on ABC TV.
Tim, what did you do to the phone?
Tim Allen's number one bestseller, Don't Stand Too Close to a Naked Man, is at a bookstore near you and now available in paperback.
A warm hello to the flannel.
No, the flannels are lame.
You looking for something in specific, or are you just watching that episode of Home Improvement?
Both.
Okay.
You're a single woman and a Scottish mixer, huh?
Oh, all your favorite gags.
Oh, we're recording?
Huh?
We recording?
Oh, I guess so. Oh yeah, look at that.
There we go.
I guess we are.
There you go. I'll clue us on.
Oh, the rappers. There was black people on Home Improvement. This isn't really adding lyrics to the Tool Time theme. This is an entirely new song. Tim's not having it.
This is the boss. That means you lost.
There you go.
He's still got it, you know?
This is a classic Tool Time bit right there. This is going to be a big... I feel like this whole month I'm just going to dedicate to watching Home Improvement. It's going to basically be my life coming forward right here.
It's...
reliving my glory years, really.
Oh, man, like... there's so... so much for you to
what
get
season
through.
What season does Mark turn into a goth? How long do I gotta get into it before that shit goes down?
Seven.
That's like a season six. Seven. Okay, yeah, that sounds good to me. I don't think I was still watching the show at that point. I remember seeing that Mark was a goth and being like, oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
I might have tapped out around like season three or four or something, I think.
Girl breaks up with him and then he's like, fuck it. I'm going goth.
I don't know what I was thinking. It was like I went through this whole period in my life where there was new Home Improvement episodes coming out and it was like I didn't even appreciate it.
Yeah, that's
just like, oh, whatever. I'll get to him someday. I'm sure Home Improvement will be a show forever.
It's
the folly of youth.
A great show. There's so much, man.
Who's your favorite Tool Time girl? Your classic Pam Anderson man?
Man. Heidi had more character.
Heidi became a bigger part of the show. She started getting some like storylines later on, I remember.
Yeah.
I think I can't beat that Pam Anderson charisma, though. I think in my heart she will always be my Tool Time girl.
Yeah, it was...
I also like Barb Wire.
Don't call me babe.
Have you rewatched a Barb Wire anytime recently?
Oh, no, not at all.
That movie holds up, let me tell you. As good as you probably are thinking that it is right now, you're going to watch it and be like, wow, that's even better than I remembered.
I'm just going to say, I can remember being like 12 years old and watching that and being like, well, this is a really bad movie.
We're probably not talking about the same movie. I'm talking about Barb Wire starring Pam Anderson. It was a really good movie.
That's my mistake. Originally, instead of Pam Anderson, the Tool Time girl was going to be played by who was it?
Home Improvement, Deep Cut Trivia. I like this. This is what you bring to the table.
This is one of those, Jesus. She's a god. Not Winona Ryder. Winona Judd, maybe.
Oh,
or
one
something?
Of the Judd clan was gonna be on.
Yeah, I think I want to say it was one of the Judds or something. She was gonna be like super smart.
Okay.
And like she had a much bigger role.
But then like,
and then she last second
she
turned
got a
it
film
down
role or something and became legit famous and didn't have to be the bitch on Home Improvement.
And so they're like, well, fuck it, let's just make it some big titted girl.
That's For a plan B, that's a pretty damn good plan B, yeah. I'd say.
Yeah. Also, a little fun fact.
Uh-huh.
On that new Tim Allen show.
Was it Last Man Standing?
The one that just
Standing?
Came back.
Is that yeah,
what it's
Last called?
Man Standing.
I think it was canceled at one point, right?
Right.
And then, like,
and then
the runaway
back.
Success of Roseanne coming back, I think, led to them giving that one another shot.
Yeah.
TV execs are like, yeah, there's some hunger out there for classic white people entertainment.
I Here's a guy that doesn't hate Trump.
I think we need to give Tim Allen another shot.
So anytime they show a tool in that show,
uh-huh.
It says Binford on it.
Oh, that's a great little Easter egg for true fans of
yep.
Tim Allen.
Yep. Anyways, more of that.
I got to get your Home Improvement before I start
Weeks
watching that
come.
One. That'll be next month. That'll be my next month.
Just like the Binford tools would be considered a prop in that
they
show.
They would be, yeah. There's lots of tool props in Home Improvement from what I remember.
We, after seeing that baseball bat get thrown around, mm-hmm. the big brouhaha today.
There you go, yeah.
What question do we ask ourselves today, Nate?
Actually, this kind of occurred to me last week when you brought up that WrestleMania 4 display they had in the lobby at Trump
sure.
Towers over there, and wondering if anybody ended up taking that home. I started thinking about all the great shit that's been in wrestling over the years that if you were working for the company, you'd probably want to take home as a little souvenir, a little bit of memorabilia, a lot of great opportunities. So threw the question out there. Dream memorabilia, wrestling props, if you could own them, add them to your collection, display them at your house, what are the things you'd like to get your grubby little hands on the most?
Man.
What are you going to show off to the other dads on the block? Bring them over and give them a strows and just brag about all your wrestling shit you got.
We briefly touched on it earlier when we spoke. And usually if we do, I don't like to use it on my list, but...
Okay.
It was one I couldn't turn
Rules
down.
Rules are made to be broken.
One I couldn't turn down.
Couple of wild childs on this show.
Not only do you gotta... You don't have to just bring people over to your house with you
mm-hmm.
to see it. This one you could take with you.
Oh, great.
You can dress it up. You can dress it down. It fits any occasion.
It's very versatile.
It's a belt buckle, sir.
Mm.
It's a buckle that signifies that you, sir, are the bull of the woods.
Oh, you're dipping into Dusty's collection right there. You're going to steal something from Dusty, huh?
Big bunkhouse brawl.
Bunkhouse Stampede belt buckle.
Stampede.
It's one of the
Buster
14 or so trophies they gave Dusty Rhodes when he won that fucking Bunkhouse Stampede match.
No, I know, pun intended. Kicked around the idea of the boot, but I said, hey, that buckle, man.
That big cowboy boot. It would be nice, but it's a little ridiculous. That belt buckle, you could actually wear it.
Plus, I got big shit for later in my collection.
Oh, okay.
But that belt buckle, I can walk around just, just put that out there like, what's that belt buckle mean? What's funny you should
What's
ask.
What's that huge belt buckle you have on your belt mean?
It's funny you should ask me because a fat white guy once just tossed it aside all nonchalantly.
Oh,
but to me it means
you
something.
You spent thousands of dollars and a lot of time making this belt buckle for me? Sweet. So anyways.
Yeah.
Dusty didn't do a very good job putting over that belt buckle as being a big prize. I think you should have it. It should be, you appreciate it more.
As a guy who wore belt buckles for a little while, I want to say I was ahead of that curve, by the way.
Is that a thing now? Are people starting to do that?
They were doing it for a minute.
Okay, well, I feel belt buckles is a good idea. We should get some belt buckles.
I also want to say that I started wearing two belts for a minute
because
I saw Madonna do it.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's a pretty great idea.
Call me Maddie Two Belts.
This was like in the rock and roll days, and I was like, I'm just going to start wearing two belts. Dan Smart got a look at it, said it was the stupidest shit ever. Month later.
Dan Smart's a wise man.
He was wearing two belts.
Ah.
I was like, you just wanted it for yourself.
Dirty old dish rag there.
You just want it for yourself.
It's like in elementary school at a Solon Robinson, one of the elementary schools across the town, not the one I went to.
Yeah.
One of the popular kids, whose name escapes me at the time, started wearing dog tags to school one day.
Oh, like John Cena.
So then my friend Tim McDermott thought it was pretty cool, and he started wearing dog tags too.
Yeah.
Before he knew it, everybody's wearing dog tags, except for Shane Mailing, who's like, I'm not going to follow this stupid dog tag trend thing. This guy's a fucking asshole who started it, by the way. None of us even like him. But now because he wears dog tags, you're all wearing dog tags. And not only did he take a stand and not wear those dog tags, he made sure to bring it up at least once a month to Tim for about the next 18 years of our lives. We were adults, and he was still bringing up those dog tags from third grade all the time.
The real impressive part of it all was when Shane enlisted and still refused to wear the dog tags.
I'm going to defend our country because my spirit runs deep. I believe that you should. I'm not putting those fucking dog tags on them. I'll tell you that much.
Dog tags, because I ain't no dog.
That one asshole from third grade did him. Oh, I wish I could remember that guy's name. He was one of those guys that you'd think like was totally going to peak in high school and just like real cool guy in high school, but then just, you know, it ends up being the classic just like drunk loser who doesn't go anywhere afterwards. But instead he like, I don't know, fucking works for SpaceX or something. So he really showed Shane Mailing.
That's pretty cool.
In your face, Shane. What are you doing with your life?
Fucking loser.
Yeah, loser. That was our call out of the week, where we just pick somebody we know and just call them fucking out. Yeah, call them the fuck
point
out.
Point blank.
It's a new thing we're doing. My number three on this three count list, I decided I needed, like you were saying, with this belt buckle, you could wear it around. It's actually a useful thing. It's not just going to be a showpiece. Yeah. I wanted something I could wear, something I could use.
Mm-hmm.
I decided I needed one of Ric Flair's robes.
Oh.
I'm not going to frame it and put it up on the wall or something. No, I'm going to wear this thing around as a bathrobe around the house. I'm going to open the door when people knock on my door wearing nothing but that Ric Flair robe.
Much like Flair
did. Pay some tribute to the man. Walk around
completely
naked except in that robe. So I was thinking about it. Which one am I going to get, though? The man had a lot of robes.
You know what?
A lot of beautiful robes.
You'd have to subscribe to a newspaper delivery just so you'd have an excuse to like walk to the end of your driveway every day.
Every morning. Just balls out. Just flapping around.
God damn. There's that idiot neighbor in his flare robe again.
So I decided I'm going to go with his red robe with the silver sequined accents he wore when he fought Ricky Steamboat at the Chi-Town Rumble 1989. Favorite wrestler. My favorite match of his. Chicago connection. It makes sense. Give me that red robe. I'm brushing my teeth in it. I'm going to be eating my cereal while I'm wearing
it. You're about 2 months too late because Toys R Us was selling it.
He's selling that robe?
For like $75.
Okay, I want the real one though. I want to get like barbecue sauce stains on it and stuff. This thing's going to be tore up by the time I'm done with it.
Kicked around getting it for you as a gift one time.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably wear a replica of that robe just like as an actual piece of clothing in my everyday life.
That's a good
point.
Sounds
like something I'd do.
Yeah. Solid pick.
It's my number three. It's my most realistic pick. The rest of them I do are going to be pretty stupid.
All right. My number two is a real discussion piece. You bring people over, and they're like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, this guy's a weirdo.
Yeah.
Ooh, like, let's not come over here anymore.
You can't casually put this somewhere.
I'm uncomfortable now.
Yeah. Like, it'll probably be one of those things that, like, you dedicate a room to it kind of a deal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed it on the show before. It was more so a source of contention when I was a young child.
It's a controversial pick, yeah.
Borderline, you know, almost scared me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But these days, now with him being gone, I would like to have it to celebrate the memory. And that is the
nice.
Sweet...
You're bringing a tear to my eye.
Custom-made gray casket with Ultimate Warrior logos.
Oh, wow.
Blazoned all over it.
That would be a discussion piece.
That Taker locked Ultimate Warrior inside.
You display it like half open so everybody can see those claw marks where the Warrior was tearing at the fabric on the inside.
It's just, you know, your friends come over like, can I take a picture inside of it?
Man. That's what it's for. But
20 spot, yeah.
Just, you know, grease my palm a little bit and we'll make that happen. You tell your friends. Everybody can get in there for $20.
Do you have any idea about casket costs? Upkeep on that shit?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't own one.
You don't own one.
Take my word.
Don't talk to me like you own a casket.
$60.
I know that you don't.
You want the selfie or not?
That's beautiful, man. If I had that, I'd be showing it off to everybody. I might actually like have people over every once in a while.
Yeah, like you know, like in my house I'm in now, like we got the couch.
Uh-huh.
And then we also have like the chaise lounge, thing. It's
luxurious. Living a life of decadence.
The little halvesy thing there.
Yeah, I got you.
Against the front wall there by
you.
The door.
Uh-huh.
I'd probably just get rid of that and put the casket right there.
Prop that casket right there.
Yeah.
Hey,
makes sense.
Tired? Climb the casket. Take a little nap.
Go ahead.
We use it as a piece of furniture, too.
Yeah.
My number two is going to solve a big problem I have sometimes, which is the fact that it's illegal to drink and drive in this state, which is
as I
dumb.
Finish my beer.
So basically, you know, I'm walking up to the bar every day because I'm not going to go to the bar.
Right.
And I'm not going to drive because I don't want to get thrown in jail for stupid, demand stupid fucking laws.
And real quick, we walk to the bar if it's 100 degrees out.
Oh, yeah.
We walk to the bar.
Just wear a nice pair of little cutoffs.
If it's raining out.
Oh, sure. Just throw a garbage bag over my head.
And we've also walked to the bar in like 0 degree weather.
Oh, I've trudged through waist-high snow to get to the goddamn bar, share some whiskeys with some friends. But sometimes I'm feeling a little lazy. I don't want to walk, man. I just want somebody to drive me to the bar.
Yeah.
So I'm meeting myself halfway here.
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking I can find a mode of conveyance that you don't need a driver's license to get behind.
Uh-oh.
It's not considered a car.
This
I'm not
going to
get pulled over if I'm drunk in this thing.
This is a good pick.
I want one of those mini ring electrical carts from WrestleMania 3 and WrestleMania
Hell
6.
Yeah.
Those carts that they took down to the ring that were tiny little rings. I want one of these and I want to drive it to the bar every day. Park it outside there, maybe like chain it up, treat it like it's a bike or something.
Nice.
I'm not gonna be one of these hipster idiots actually biking around town.
No,
people are gonna see me side of the road in the wrestling ring. They're gonna be like, there's wrestling cart guy.
Yeah,
it is a dream. That would be awesome. I'd be the talk of the town.
Plus, if we were riding around on bicycles drunk, you know how many cars we'd get hit by?
Oh yeah, because
I'd constantly be like, I got the right of way here, asshole.
I'd be running into parked cars a lot
too,
probably. What's the worst that's going to happen if you run into something in one of those rings? You're surrounded by ropes. You're going to get jostled a little bit, but then you're going to steady yourself. You're going to be fine.
Just getting Irish whipped.
It's very safe. It's a very safe mode of conveyance.
Oh, did you get whiplash? No, I just got a little Irish whip.
That's me being responsible. That's being a genius.
You know what else is great about that?
What's that?
Anytime, like, something doesn't go well or you're sad or, just because. Whenever you go home, you can do the Hulk Hogan sad cart ride to the backstage.
That lonely cart ride after I lost my WWF title.
I'm happy for you, but
once I start getting my paper, I'll probably take that down to the end of the driveway every day when I'm wearing my Ric Flair robe.
Oh, that'll look cool, man.
Yeah, definitely.
That'll look real cool.
Every morning.
You're putting together.
Wait until one of the female neighbors is outside doing something. Make her just real uncomfortable.
Flash a little nut.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just one. I got my last pick here.
Okay.
I'm
ready for it.
It's something I've wanted for a while, and I've kicked around.
Treat yourself. We got to get this for you.
Purchasing a bootleg one or, you know, a
want you to
fake
have it.
One.
I need you to have it.
But I like it. I like it a lot. I don't really fully understand what it means, but I just know I need it in my life. I recently saw somebody else with it.
Mm-hmm.
A wrestler. And I was like,
getting jealous.
I'm tired of just thinking about it, and I just need to do it. I want that great Terry Funk versus Dusty Rhodes feud era. Dusty sucks.
Oh, yeah. The Dusty sucks
t-shirt.
Eggs t-shirt. That, you'd look good in that. That's doable, too. We could get you
that for a while.
That's something that could really happen. Yeah. That's no problem, man.
I mean, it would be cool, though, like the original one that like the Funker was wearing. I mean, his shirt smells.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, like,
he smells
like, bled
really
all
bad.
Over it.
Well, that's cool, though.
Dusty's shirt was like Ludenberg. So, everybody, somebody in Lovenberg or whatever. That was the shirt he wore in that match.
If you're in Texas, that probably makes sense. I don't know.
But never mind that.
I don't understand
the
Texas.
The real, you know, fact of the matter is Dusty sucks eggs.
That's as straight to the point as a solid shirt. People are going to know where you're coming from. They're going to know where you stand. It's very fashionable, too.
First of all, I'm not really sure what it means to suck eggs. I don't know if that means
it's not
like,
good. I'll tell you that
is
much.
Is that like just his redneck way of being like, you suck balls, bro?
Could be, yeah.
I know he liked to call people egg sucking dog a lot.
That was definitely one of Funker's go-tos.
It's all weird.
That and your mother's a whore.
Well, that's a pretty solid one right there.
Definitely a good put down. People don't like to be told that.
Tell you what, you could put that on a shirt too. But
I'll get that shirt. You get the sucks eggs one. A couple of Terry Funk fans.
I'm gonna give honorable mention to I broke Wahoo's arm.
Leg.
Shirt,
leg.
Or leg, excuse
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. Greg Valentine's shirt. Basically, yeah. Any time a pro wrestler back in the day was making some kind of homemade shirt, I was loving it.
Yeah,
they're
just
all
give
good.
That to me.
They're all real good.
Any of Macho Man's shirts?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
he had a great
I got that
collection.
Better than the best one, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. I wear proudly, thanks to our good buddies at Mempho Tees.
Shout out.
Yeah, this it was a different time. Dusty had Macho had a lot of good shirts. Yeah, he was doing like that $10,000 challenge or some shit. Or $100,000 challenge when he was in Mid-South and he had like his own custom-made shirt just like hyping his fake promotion contest.
There you go. There's a treasure trove of old pre-WWF Macho stuff that I haven't seen nearly enough out there. I'd really like to
really
get a hold
of
some tapes of that shit and just watch hours
He made a lot of his own promos when he was in Mid-South.
Yeah.
And, like, he did a lot of weird, like, sound experimentation. And so a lot of them you can't understand because it's just weird noises
more
in the background.
Like, his early characters much more of, like, an acid trip type thing than when he became later.
So what's your big finish here?
My big finish.
What's the piece?
My number one.
You'd kill somebody
dream
for it.
Piece of wrestling memorabilia. I'm taking a page out of the book of Cosmo Kramer. Talking about that episode of Seinfeld where he gets his hands on the old Merv Griffin
set. Oh, hey now.
And he sets it up in his house and he's just interviewing people.
Ooh. Okay, a little later we're going to be talking with animal expert Jim Fowler.
Where are the cameras?
But first, we're talking with Jerry. Hey, Jerry, you drugged a woman in order to play with her toy collection. How do you feel about that?
It was great. I've done it a few more times since then.
And she doesn't know anything about this?
No, not a thing.
Well, Jerry, we have a little surprise for you. Come on out, Celia.
What kind of sick, twisted creep are you?
Whoa! What is this? What is she doing here?
It's a new format, Scandals and Animals. Get me there.
If you think you can drug me and play with my toys, you've got another thing coming, bud.
Go, girl. What kind of woman drinks an entire box of wine?
Mr. Fowler, I have a squirrel here that is a miracle of modern science.
George, I told you, we're booked.
Careful. Hawks and squirrels don't get along together.
Ooh, another interesting confrontation. This could be spicy. Yeah, George, bring them over.
No, you idiot. Hawks eat squirrels.
Are we getting this?
Like his whole life's a TV show.
There's
what
a
I
lot
want,
of sets you could pick
I
here.
Want the set, primetime wrestling set that it debuts here. About halfway through 1988, we're not to it yet. But I think it's the one that they stuck to up until Vince changed the format of the show and brought in like a studio audience a couple years later. In my mind, those are the prime years of primetime wrestling. It's the standard set. You got that industrial looking sort of like horseshoe desk they sit at, gray and blue walls, and then just like the square Tron in the middle in between the two seats with that classic shiny metal WWF 80s logo on it.
Yeah.
I just want to set that up in my house and make everybody who comes over talk to me like we're co-hosting a show. Yeah. And I want to make anybody who wants to watch TV have to turn around and watch TV behind them.
I was just going to say, hey, you want to come over and like watch this movie with me?
Turn around and watch TV backwards?
I don't know, man. Like, it just my neck starts to hurt.
Nope, too late. Come over at 9. It's already our plan.
It's really hard to watch like anything past like a 90-minute movie just looking over my shoulder.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad. It's how we're going
to
do it.
You keep wanting to watch Godfather, and it's just like, I
one
can't
of my favorite
do it.
Movies.
I just can't do it. It hurts too much.
Every cool guy has Godfather as their favorite movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I just take out most of what's in my living room and just convert my living room into the primetime wrestling set. And that would be my dream piece of wrestling memorabilia.
Also, your house would work really well, that your main little living room there. If you set up the barber shop right there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because you could have the main window right where your windows are.
Different
and like,
themed rooms, yeah.
You could just throw people
out.
Throw
people through that window all the time.
Just super kick them and then throw them.
You think I could probably get Brutus Beefcake just to hang out at my house and like...
I don't see why
host
not.
Host barbershops too. I can't imagine his booking fee is too much of a challenge to, you know,
you
swing these days.
You got a gym. He can still lift.
Yeah, that's true. Me and Beefcake could get beefy together.
Ed Leslie,
Sounds like it might be a nice thing for me. I'm going to look into it.
I don't think he's up to much.
No, he can't be. What would he be doing?
You got that disciple look going right now.
I am kind of rocking a late WCW Brutus Beefcake look right now. I never really thought about it that way. I don't know. Maybe see if Hogan wants to hang out.
You should probably up your vest.
Might need a new disciple.
Up your vest game.
Yeah,
get some
also,
leather gloves.
I need to definitely up my airbrushed clothing game. Like, I only own like 8 or 9 articles of clothing that are airbrushed at this point.
We need to get our asses
that's
to
just
the
half
mall
stepping it. Yeah.
And find a good airbrush artist.
That's very true. Yeah. I've been saying that for years. I need to get my ass to the mall.
I would assume RVD's got to use a guy somewhere here in the Midwest.
RVD's guys definitely in Michigan. I think I remember seeing some sort of like WWF behind the scenes little featurette or something on it where he was visiting his airbrush guy.
I wouldn't mind getting some trunks or pants that just depict me and Dave, like me making fun of Dave in some fashion.
That could be a new thing. Every year at Christmas, you show up with a new airbrushed article of clothing
some
that's insulting your brother
Rick
in some
Rude-esque
way.
Rude-esque trunks that I wear to Christmas.
I don't know why you haven't been doing this.
Yeah, that's got legs, buddy.
Like, we got a new holiday traditions brewing here. I like the sound of this.
Oh, yeah, that's really good
Davey
stuff.
Davey sucks eggs. That could be your shirt right there.
Writes itself right there.
He's not going to know what it means, but he's going to know that he's mad about it. Suck eggs.
Well, I tell you what, we got to cut this shit now because we got some big work coming up here.
Yeah, a lot of plans. Not enough time in the day.
We got a big, big show next week.
WrestleMania 4 coming up next week. That's going to take like twice as long to watch probably as is normal things we watch.
I already warned Maria.
I have to set aside a chunk of time.
Like, just so you know... We're watching SummerSlam Sunday.
Pretty sure it's a really long one, too, if I remember correctly. I think WrestleMania 4 is really long.
Well, it's got the tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no getting around that. Plus all the other shit.
I might call in sick to work for like a whole week.
Yeah. I told her, I was like, we got to watch SummerSlam. And then on top of that, I got to watch WrestleMania 4 this
week. That's going to be like literally a 12-hour block of just pro wrestling.
Her mom's birthday is Saturday, and we're supposed to go to a comedy show. I might have to cancel.
Yeah, there's...
You guys go ahead. I gotta watch WrestleMania 4.
Betty watch WrestleMania 4 for her birthday. That'd be a nice little treat for her.
Yeah. They're going to a casino for the comedy show. This WrestleMania is at a casino. Yeah,
what
it works.
What kind of comedy show are we going to? Are we talking like a Sinbad or something? Is Sinbad back in town?
Oh, God, it's worse. I don't even want to say.
Is it that guy with the racist puppets?
No, I wish.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
Filipino comedian sensation Jokoy.
There's Filipino comedians, huh?
Yeah, he's on the Netflix. Look it up.
All right.
It's pretty bad.
It's not something I'm going to be doing tonight.
No one should ever. So next week, WrestleMania 4 here on Bibio and Blue.